Book of Colossians tonight, we're looking at the end time epistle. That's what this is, the epistle of the last days. I'm going to try to use this mic over here, Brother Levi, without putting on the time mic. I think we should be able to do that. And so that's what we're looking at. I've got a couple papers here. Does anybody need the latest handout? We're still in the latest handout. We gave it out 2 weeks ago. Does anybody need that? Okay. These right here, Carson, you can give to them. If anybody needs the latest copy of the Colossians, the latest copy of Colossians. Now, I'm not going back over all the blanks. You can go, every single one of these are on our church website that we've already covered. You can go back and fill in the blanks. I will scroll through a few of the verses that we've already went over because it's been a few weeks since we've been on this from the visitors that we've had. All right, one last. All right, so everybody's got all caught up here. We finished up with verse number 9 last time we met in the book of Colossians, and we're going to pick up in verse number 10 tonight. This is the end time epistle. It's very closely related to Colossae. It was told to Laodicea, and it was told to be read in Laodicea. And so there's a lot of things that we can draw as we're in this Laodicea time period from the book of Colossians. That's kind of the viewpoint we're taking from it. And so we're going to pick up here. Now, the prayer in the verses that we're dealing with, Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, which is also supposed to be read in the church of Laodicea, and it's also supposed to be read in the church of White Oak Independent Baptist Church and all other New Testament Bible churches. It's supposed to be read in all those churches. But this prayer, he mentions it in verse number 9, and this is one continuous sentence all the way through verse number 17. He tells the church some things that he wants to see from them and some things he's praying for them. And then he begins to brag on Christ and let them know some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've already done these. If you need to fill them in, I'm just going to walk through them kind of quickly, and you can go back and fill in if you need to here in just a few minutes. But when we started the last section, we talked about this prayer for the church of Colossae. Every Christian should pray for these seven things. They should pray them in their own life, and they should pray them in the life of others and pray for each other in the church. The first one was the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so that's a prayer, the knowledge of His will. That's a good thing to pray for yourself. I'm not going to re-preach it. Go back and watch the previous ones. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's a good thing. It'd be a good thing to wake up every day and say, Lord, would you help me walk worthy of you unto all pleasing? We're going to look at that tonight, actually, that specific one. Being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. These are things to pray for yourself and to pray for others. Strengthened with all might unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. All these are found in the text. You can see those in there as well. Meet to be partakers of the inheritance. So these are things to pray for your life and those around you. We began to look at this thought of being filled with the knowledge of His will. And you can fill in the blanks there. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We should all seek what the will of the Lord is for our lives. Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And I X'd out one of the blanks I put in there because it shouldn't have been there. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. All right. We're just getting this for some of those that were behind to catch up on real quick. There are some things that are obvious in Scriptures concerning the Lord's will, just to mention a few. It is God's will for all to be saved. God's will for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We've been dealing on Sunday mornings with the discerning deception. And almost every verse we look at, it talks about people that are going away from truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. This book is truth. The doctrines of this book is truth. And so the prayer is that we would be filled with the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy 2, 3-4, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another thing is to give thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. These are things you shouldn't have to pray about. These are things the Bible just tells us that you ought to do. Give thanks for everything. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will for you to live a sanctified life, set apart, not just to anything, but set apart to Christ. And that's God's will. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. And it goes on talking about not defrauding your brother. And that verse goes on to list several things that deal with sanctification. All right? If we lack wisdom, we are to pray and ask God for it. We had prayer meeting tonight, and when somebody needs wisdom, that's one of the greatest prayers that have ever been asked in the Bible. It's by Solomon, and he prayed for wisdom to discern good and evil. Man, that would be a good thing for people to have today. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Another thing is spiritual understanding. A person has to allow the Lord to give them the qualifications to do what His will is for them. It's not just knowing what the will of God is, but it's knowing how to do it and when to do it and how He wants it done. There's plenty of people that know that they're supposed to witness, but they don't use any wisdom in witnessing. I gave the illustration of street preachers that I've been with before, and we're out street preaching, and they're standing right in front of somebody's business in the front door. And the guy comes outside and said, will you please just move over like 10 feet? I'm not asking you to stop. Just move over a little bit. And that guy says, no, I'm standing. I have a right to stand right here. Well, you're an idiot. And then the police gets called. And now what happens? Right? Just move over 10 feet and keep doing what he said. He said, you can keep going. I was with somebody one time that did this. He said, what did you do? Well, when they looked up, they said, where's Brother Andrew? I walked off. I'm not being involved with this guy. He's an idiot. I'm not suffering for somebody else's stupidity. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Proverbs is a book that speaks a lot about wisdom. We talked about needing to read a proverb every day. It'll do you good to read Proverbs every single day. Proverbs 1:5-7, a wise man will hear, will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:1-6, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The two keys, and I'm flying through this because I've already covered all this. Two of the main keys to having this prayer answered: fearing the Lord, depart from evil. It is a theme throughout the entire subject, is fearing the Lord and departing from evil. Do not go ask God to give you wisdom on how to do something when you know you're sinning. Get the thing right with God and then say, Lord, now how do I need to proceed with this thing? Have some fear of the Lord. And here's the last verse we looked at, and then we'll pick it up in verse number 10 for a few minutes tonight. Job chapter 28, verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. It's a theme all through there. The Lord will give us the knowledge to know what He wants us to do. He will give us the wisdom to know how to carry it out, how to carry out what He wants us to do, and then He will give us the spiritual understanding on how to do it. You believe God will give you all that? The Bible says He will. Depart from evil, fear the Lord, and He'll give you those things. Okay, so now this brings us up to verse number 10. So these things that Paul has prayed for the church at Colossae, and these are things that we ought to pray for ourselves and we ought to pray one for another, they're for a reason. They're not just to have this wisdom and understanding for no good reason. He says here in verse number 9, the prayers to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse number 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Why do you need wisdom? Why do you need knowledge in the will of God, what He wants for your life? So that you can please Him. And if you please the Lord in return, you're going to get all the blessings you can handle. Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are things that Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, things we ought to pray for one another and for each other, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. The Christian, and here's where I start slowing up because I got to write. Oh, I'm pulling a Brother Stephen now. It don't work. Oh well, y'all got to fill in the blanks yourself. There we go. I don't know if it's not working now. So, what technology gets me right here. All right, it's not working. All right, I'm just going to give it to you. You have to fill it in. All right, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. The Christian is supposed to represent, words represent, the Lord Jesus Christ in all aspects of their life. So we should be vessels of honor. Many say people are not vessels of honor, but rather dishonor. And that is absolutely true in your average local church today. Vessels of dishonor and not of honor. We, as a child of God, if you're saved, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's sad is when we go out into the world, most of the time we look no different than they look. We act no different than they act. A representation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords ought to be somebody that's different. It ought to be somebody special. I talked about this past Sunday how these preachers are putting on the skinny jeans and they're getting tattoos and they're getting piercings and all these kind of things because they want to relate to the people. You don't go down to the sin level to reach people. You live a life that's holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And they see what you have. And they say, hey, I want what you have. You love the sinner, you don't love the sin, and you try to reach them and all those kind of things. I get all that, but you don't have to look like them and act like them and talk like them to reach them. Some of these people, they go down to their level when they look just like them, they act just like them, they cuss just like them, they listen to all the same music they do. And then when that person has a problem, and you say, hey, you need to come to my church. And they look at you and say, why do I need to go to your church? You're just like me. There's nothing different about you. You wear the same clothes I do. You sing the same music I do. What's different about you? And that's the Laodicean world that we live in today. Child of God, you ought to stand out. And I'm not talking about self-righteousness. You shouldn't be. If you're self-righteous, you're losing all your rewards. But you ought to do those things because of who He is and because of who you represent. There's going to be many of people standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and I've got this in the notes here in just a minute, that are going to be vessels of dishonor before the Lord because of how they live their life after salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 21 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth, that's your word, that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. This is simple stuff. but yet it's so complicated for us to live. If you nameth the name of Christ, when I type this out preparing the lesson, my computer always tries to change it. I said, no computer, you're wrong. King James is right. You're wrong. There's an option on there for it to learn the word. I said, well, you need to learn some Bible. Learn the word. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Go away from it. You name the name of Christ. You're trying to please Him to walk. We're talking about walking worthy of the Lord. You say none of us are worthy. That's what some of those carnal Christians over in Corinthians said when it came to the Lord's Supper. Well, who's worthy? He's worthy. Yes, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners, but we don't got to live like it. God saved us and He cleaned us up and He gave us a book to guide us. He put the Holy Spirit of God in us to guide us. Walk worthy of Him. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We want to be vessels of honor that please the Lord, not of dishonor. I see the things that are going on. I'm trying not to embark on the messages that I've been preaching on or that I'm going to finish up this Sunday. But with this Jesus revolution and this big movement that's being pushed, I'm telling you that is blasphemy. It's blasphemy. The way they dress, the way that they behave themselves, and this hippie love cult thing they got going on, it's blasphemy against God. It's not holy, it's not righteous, it's not of the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, there ought to be something different about us. Those that are saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And they'll give an account for those things that were done in the flesh. And there will be some honor and some dishonor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Many of you know this verse. Do I need to repeat that last part again? Anybody miss a line? Those that are saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and will give an account for those things which were done in the flesh, and there will be some honor and some dishonor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Church, we're going to stand before God. You know, as a pastor, that's one of the things that we're trying to do more than anything in these last days, is just trying to get people to stay living for God till the end. I mean, I don't want to be a church that's just hanging on to see the end, like Peter did when he hung back when Christ was going. He was just hanging back to see the end. I don't want to be that church. I want to be a church that's advancing, trying to win people to Christ. But it seems like in the last days that a lot of churches I know, and there's even some amongst our congregation, it seems like sometimes you're just trying to keep them just keep trying to live right till God comes back. Try not to fall completely off the rails before Jesus comes back, because you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ very soon. And listen, there's a lot we're going to have to give an account for. But I sure would like my record of the stuff that's bad to stop and start putting up some good stuff, knowing He's coming back any day. I've talked to a few different pastors that said, man, I feel like we're just trying to keep people from quitting. And I go to some of these camp meetings and things, and the messages are don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Because people are quitting. They're just saying, what's the point? They're either quitting church, or they're being swept away with every wind of doctrine. And they're joining the love cult. And joining all these other things. And so it's trying to encourage the church. Church, stay faithful to God. You'll be glad you did. I promise you won't get up. If you say, hey, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to live right, dress right, do right, I want to please Him unto all pleasing, I want to please God, you will not regret it. I won't. But I tell you what you will regret is just being a Christian on Sundays and not every other day of the week. You'll regret that. Unto all pleasing. A Christian should try to please God with every aspect of their life and everything that they do. You know what that is? That's every day of the week. That's not just on Sundays. There's churches today, man, I tell you, that they have a Sunday morning Christianity, and that's it. That's where it ends. We ought to be a child of God every day of our life. The Bible doesn't say you're going to give account of yourselves for your Sundays. You're going to give account of yourself for everything that's been done. But Christians should try to please the God in every aspect, unto all pleasing. Lord, are you pleased with my Sunday? Probably looks down and says, no, not really, because it's the only day you please me. But are you pleased with my Sunday? What about, Lord, are you pleased with my Monday? Are you pleased with my work? Are you pleased with the job that I've done? Are you pleased with the way that I treat my wife? Are you pleased with the way that I treat my husband? Are you pleased with the way that I honor my father and mother? Are you pleased with the way that I obey those that have the rule over me? Are you pleased with that, God? Are you pleased with my testimony? Are you pleased with when I go out in public, others can see me and they can see you? Are you pleased with that? Or when the world sees me, is all they see is a mirror of the world? What do they see? Unto all pleasing, every aspect of their life. We should not pick and choose what and when we want to be a Christian. It just shouldn't be that way. And we ought to shine brighter today than we ever have because of how dark it is out there. But the sad truth is, a lot of people, they don't look any different. They don't act any different. And so the light's not shining very bright. Here's some verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us of us, how ye ought to, what? Y'all know it? I know you got to fill in the blank. Walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Are we pleasing God with our walk? 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may what? Please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. You know what this tells me? If you entangle yourself with the affairs of this world and the things of this world, then you're not pleasing Christ. Don't entangle yourself with those things. It's not worth it for the long run. There's a lot of people I know right now that live one way at church and another way at home. And that causes frustration in children. I've seen it happen over the years. Because they don't know what the real thing is. We sing the good music at church, but then we sing the other music out in the world. We dress one way when we go to church, but then we dress however when we're not at church. And I've seen that play out in a lot of families. And the mom and dad are established because maybe they were raised with a little bit more standards than what they have. And they were raised with a little more Bible or whatever the case might be. But by the time those kids get older and they got to make a decision, why do they want anything to do with church? Because it was one way at home and one way at church. It needs to be the same all the time. So our children will say, hey, we want to please God all the time. Not just during church days or revivals. We want to please Him all the time. Not entangling Himself with the affairs of this life. Folks today are so caught up in the world, and there's even some things that are in the world that are not necessarily sinful, but they're so caught up in the affairs of this world, there's no time to serve God. There's no time to do things for God. There's no time to please the Lord because we're too busy in what the world has got going on. That's the subject tonight because it's in our text. Being fruitful in every good work. That's the verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. If you're gonna please God, you got to know what His will is. You got to know how to do His will. how He wants you to do it. You have to please Him in all of your life. And then you're going to be fruitful in the things that you do for God. Those that have been in this thing for a while, you know you live right, you do right, you do what God tells you to do. You're going to have fruit in your life. Fruitful in every good work. What a great thing, bearing fruit. The things that are done for the Lord Jesus Christ should bear fruit. So the question tonight is, does our life in church, out of church, whatever, is it bearing any fruit for God? Is it bearing any resemblance of Christian fruit? That's Paul's prayer for this church. That's what we ought to pray for one another. But if you try your best, then we're not perfect. We'll get a perfect body one day when we get to heaven. I told you, I'm thankful we can't lose our salvation. Because if you could, I would lose it on I-65 or down here at this intersection. Right? You got to look 12 different ways, and you can't look 12 different ways. I'm thankful I can't lose it. We're going to get a new body one day that's perfect, sinless, and I'm thankful for it. But I tell you what, I can get up every day and like Paul did and try to crucify the flesh and put on the whole armor of God and say, Lord, I want to please You today. And when I don't, have enough consciousness about me and discernment about me to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I just did. Brother Charlie always said, keep a short account with God. Keep a short account. You say, what's that? As soon as I mess up, Lord, I'm sorry. But there's people that get up and they plan to sin that day. They make a plan for it. They make an occasion for the flesh. This is what I'm going to wear. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to act. This is how I'm going to behave. They're making occasion for the flesh. They know what they're doing doesn't please God, but they're going to do it anyway and go through their day. Guess what? No good fruit comes out of that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the carnal, you're going to reap carnal. You're going to reap it in your family, your friends, your work, whatever's around you. You're going to reap that. Being fruitful in every good work. The things that are done for the Lord Jesus Christ should bear fruit. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That's what it's all about. It's all about His glory. It's all about His praise. It's all about pleasing Him. That's what this is all about. It's not about our happiness or our pleasing. But if you're right with God and you got the right spirit and attitude towards trying to please God, guess what? You will have joy. You'll have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Let's finish up this verse. Increasing in the knowledge of God. He says, you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Child of God, are you growing every day through Scripture? It's hard to grow in Scripture when you're not in Scripture. There's days go by, you don't read your Bible, you didn't grow one bit in Scripture. There might be things that you put into practice from what you already read. Increasing in the knowledge of God. This is going to require studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. Somebody that gets saved, they're excited, they're zeal for Christ, they might get in their Bible, and they might read the Bible through, maybe one time. Maybe they read half of it, or read just the New Testament. And then they'll put it down, and they'll run 10 years off of that, thinking that they've got all this figured out. I don't care how long you've been saved, you read your Bible every day, and God will feed you something different and new and help you grow every single day. I've known many of people that have taken that approach. They've read it through maybe one time, or they read a certain passage and God showed them something and they've been running 10 years on that. Guess what? You're a babe in Christ. And you can see that in the decisions they make. They have no spiritual discernment. 2 Timothy 2:15, you all know this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, increasing in the knowledge of God. If we're going to increase in His knowledge, we get it from this book. This is where we learn about Him. I appreciate those that participate in the daily Bible reading. I know there's some that don't, and they got their own reading plan, and that's fine as long as you're reading. I like doing it corporately as a church. if, for those that can, and there's several that still respond, but I'm just thankful people are reading their Bible. It'll help. It's not going to hurt anything. It'll help you increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. If you're missing some of these, you can go back and look up these verses. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him, that's what it's about. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Paul's praying this prayer, starts off in verse 9, telling the church what he's praying for them. He's going to start magnifying Christ here in a few verses. This one sentence goes from verse 9 all the way through verse number 17. And there is a lot in here that, man, will just help your Christian walk with God if we just get a hold of it. Paul wrote this church to Colossians. It's not far from Laodicea. He said, make sure you read this in the church of Laodicea. We're in the last days. Church, we better strengthen the things which remain, lest they die. There's a church over there in Revelation chapter 3 that looks like they're alive, but the Bible said they're dead. This book is life. It's spirit, John 6, 66. This book is spirit and life. And I'm thankful for it. Amen? All right, let's all stand. Somebody today asked me, they said, when are you going to be done with Colossians? Sort of how she said it. She said, what are you doing after Colossians? I said, we're going to be in heaven because the Lord's coming back before I finish Colossians. At least that's what my prayer is. So, Emily, I don't know what we're doing next. Glad to have you here tonight. So let's pray for those that are out. Pray for our prayer request. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. And again, if anybody wants to be here Saturday night, more than likely I will be here. If just let me know you're coming, I'll make sure you can get in if you want to come. I'm planning on being here at 6 on Saturday to pray. But for those that have, because folks can't come, I understand. They're just, it's not working out. So Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, if you can come. And bring your kids. The kids need to pray. We're going to pray from 9 to 9:30. We're not thanking the Lord for the meal. Amen. We're praying from 9 to 9:30. And if you do not have enough to pray for 30 minutes, I will give you a list. It ought to take you a few minutes to go through our prayer list. You shouldn't just run through it. Pray for people in the church. Pray for our missionaries. If you don't have enough, I will give you a list to pray for, and you'll be able to pray from 9 to 9:30. You don't got to pray out loud. You can pray quiet. You can pray loud if you want to, whatever. Brother Nick and Miss Emily are going to oversee the kids praying in his classroom. We'll have probably the ladies are the men in here, and the opposite in the other room in there. Miss Sarah's going to lead the ladies. So be here at 9 o'clock to pray if you can, all right? Brother Jeff, will you close us in prayer?